The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And your boy Jay Scar 25, all that. What it do, baby? What's up, y'all boys, man? How y'all doing?
Vibing 25. Vibing, man. We got a big show on the way. We're going to catch up on our weekends, man. But y'all, make sure y'all smash that like button. It don't cost nothing to show love. Smash like, subscribe to the channel. Tell a friend to tell a friend, man. The best Gator content in the market.
Absolutely. How's everybody's weekend?
In a humble way. Like, no
It's only getting better.
Yeah.
Right. Only up from here, fellas. But I had a pretty good weekend, man. Pretty chill dad weekend, as usual. I took like family photos on Sundays at Boynton Beach. So
there you go.
I got to hit the beach with the kids and relax for the weekend. So I wasn't complaining. Got to watch some basketball, a little bit of hockey.
A little hockey, huh?
Yeah, look, I had to make sure them Panthers wasn't going outside yesterday, man. So I had to check them out last night.
It's huge victory for the Florida Panthers. Yeah, my favorite team growing up.
Yep. Well, me by nature, obviously.
Man, I kicked him to the curb when I moved to Tampa. That's the only team. Yeah. I was a rabid fan for their first like 26 years of existence. Mm-hmm. It's just impossible. And by 26, I mean 18. My math is wrong. So like 18 years, I gave them my blood, sweat, and tears. Not a lot of blood, probably not a lot of sweat. Probably not a ton of tears, but you guys know what I'm saying, right? Like I supported them when they were terrible. But you know, shout out to the Panthers. Got a lot of friends that are still Panthers fans. So a decisive victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs, who once again just let the entire province of Ontario down.
Yeah, I know people being mad about that one.
How hard is it, family picture day, like keeping everybody together? It's smooth at your house?
Especially dealing with the little ones, man. Like,
yeah.
My daughter, now she's five, so she's kind of getting the hang of, like, baby, just keep looking and keep smiling. My younger one, obviously, is two, so he's all over the place, and he's at the beach, and there's people at the beach. He's looking all over the place, so you can catch a few, and hopefully you can just get your couple favorites, but it's still a huge mess when it comes to taking pictures. And I'm not really a photo kind of guy. My wife kind of turned me on to it over the years. Every year we do family pictures around Christmas. I think now we did this one for her brother's graduation, so I'm getting used to it.
Nice. What'd you get into, Daniel?
Not much. No, I played in a golf tournament Friday morning. We did well.
Like,
and
bro,
then,
man, you go golfing every day. Who are you?
Yeah.
You got to watch him.
Try to get out, you know, 3-4 times a month. Played well. And then just kind of a chill, relaxing day. And then I had to go to a Friday night. I had to go to a baby shower on Saturday. I mean, I love my boy RJ, but if I don't ever have to go to another baby shower again, one of these mixed things, you know, not playing the games and all this other stuff, like that's just, you know, you guys celebrate, you know, the way you want to. Just not my thing. I'm happy for my boy. Just a lot.
You
know,
have fun at a baby shower, though. That's like,
I don't know. It was okay. But other than that, pretty good weekend. Went boating yesterday. Hot as a Dickens here. But good time. I got a medical procedure on Friday, so just trying to, you know, be ready to go for that. One final hurrah.
Mm-hmm. You're getting a big chop.
No. It's one of those things.
No kids is brave, bro.
No. Not that one. It's one of those things that I think everybody knows. My brother had cancer. He's in remission now. But it's that procedure where a boy becomes a man on Friday. You know, just checking out. You know, make sure we're in the clear. So keep me in your thoughts and prayers. Friday morning.
Well wishes to you, brother.
By losing his virginity, man.
Yeah, man. It's all right. Better be safe than sorry, brother.
Better be safe than sorry. Go get checked if it's your time. But got a good Memorial Day plan, assuming everything goes well. So I'm just getting ready for that, man. Work's been stressful, so just trying to get through some of that. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
What about you, dude? And then we'll get on to the show.
A lot of we got to get on with the show, man. Just a lot of, we heading into graduation this week, bro. So just a lot of running around with the kids and errands. I don't want to bore everybody with that. I had the Josh Pate interview last week. Should be dropping that Wednesday. Y'all tap in with that. But that's just been it. Family, work, the usual, man. And summer is here. So hydrate.
Summer is here. Yeah, no, we got a lot of exciting stuff with Stadium and Gale. Corey, I got an update for you after the show. We should have talked about it before the show. We're going to potentially be doing something in the summer up in Gainesville. I worked out my schedule. I'll be up in Gainesville at least thrice this fall. So looking forward to that. And then obviously the Miami game. So tap in. We're going to try to do some tailgates. All of that kind of fun stuff for you guys, just to hang out, meet you guys, hang out, drink a couple of adult beverages together and talk about the Florida Gators. So stay tuned for some of that. Big off-season loading. Obviously, not a ton of news in May, June, July, at least news that you probably want to hear. So we're going to try to pack these next couple months in with interviews. And today we've got Jacoby Jackson, the running back for the Florida Gators, who I think is very likely going to be one of the standouts on the team this year. And then potentially Jonathan Safir, who's one of the assistant Gators basketball coaches. If you keep up with the news, there is a visitor on campus right now, and they're at dinner at this exact moment. So if he can get out in time, he's going to join us. If not, we will definitely get him on the show. They've had a busy couple of weeks, and then they actually head up to Washington, D.C. on Wednesday for their White House visit. But let's get into the show, Corey. Let's give a shout out to Brent Insurance and make the boot Gators day.
You already know what time it is. Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brent Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, and I mean anything, I think anything, just give them a call, if, you know, to find out if I don't put anything you may want insured on the list. But home, auto, a motorcycle, boat, trailers, life insurance, you can insure your life with them. Any other financial services, my man Greg could take care of you. It don't cost nothing to get a free quote. You can visit them at bruntinsurance.com or give them a call at 954-589-2204. Greg is a diehard Gator fan. He's been holding us down with these podcasts for a very long time. Support local business. Greg, what it do, baby?
What it do? As always, and a lot of people ask, Nick should be back in the next couple of weeks. With that, speaking of being back, Gators front man Ruben Chinyelu announced today that he is no longer going to participate in the NBA draft process and will return back to the University of Florida. Great get back. Obviously, Ruben is a guy that played a lot of minutes for the Gators in that front court, and being able to return your entire front court like the Gators are going to do is huge for them and their quest to go back two back. So that is obviously big news for the basketball fans that listen to this show. Other big news, Boogie Flan. This is a guy that a lot of people had been talking about. He was still in the NBA draft process. Freshman point guard from Arkansas, explored the NBA draft, decided to pull himself out, went into the transfer portal, and is currently, as of 6:49 on May 19th, on campus at the University of Florida. And I think their goal is to try to get him to not leave. You add him with Xavier Lee, the Princeton transfer, Urban Klavzar, and Thomas, and some of the other recruits that the Gators got. Don't remember off the top of my head. Incredible team, right? I mean, that's a team that is poised to potentially go and make another deep run and potentially go back to back, which is nothing new for the Gators basketball team.
What do you think the likelihood of him leaving committed, signed, like locked in? What do you think?
According to some people, they are trying not to let him leave. Without, I know Florida Victorious and the boosters have created a fine offer package for him. That number is quite a bit of money. I think I texted you guys about that. Nothing to scoff at. I think there's a couple other schools, Kansas and Duke, are also interested, but his first visit is to Florida. So if he leaves uncommitted, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I think they're going to do whatever they can to try to get him to not leave the beautiful city of Gainesville.
Yeah, it's not easy to repeat, but I mean, if we land him, you got to put us like very high up there with, you know, yep, the odds in Vegas. You know, if we land this year, I like our roster without him, but we had, you know, that piece. You're talking about, you know, a guy that was trying to go in the NBA. Some thought that he was pretty much gone. So to spend the block and get him would be fire.
Yeah, obviously we're still waiting on the news of Alex Condon and where he might go and what he might decide to do. But no, this is a guy that, you know, I think a lot of people had thought that there was a potential, but kind of the recourse and recoil back from everybody on the message boards and online was that he's good enough to potentially go and play in the NBA next season. So being able to get him out of the transfer, or pardon me, get him out of the NBA draft and into the transfer portal is huge. And then obviously you're competing against the schools you want to compete with for a big name. I think Florida is going to deliver a very fine offer. And, you know, I think that Todd Golden has the coaching pedigree now in the offense for Boogie Flan. Now, I've admitted on this podcast that I am not the world's best basketball analyst. No surprise, but just talking to some people, I think that they think that he'd fit in very well.
What you hearing on Condon, man? I know it's been back and forth with what he may do.
Yeah, no, I think it's still the same information. I think that there's still a lot of hope that he'll return. I think that he's trying to figure out through this combine process where, you know, ultimately he's going to get drafted. And I think there's an idea in his mind with where he gets slotted as a potential to whether he'll come back or not. And I think that that's, you know, if he's a first round guy, then like you should go to the NBA. But if it's a second round guy or there's a huge delta in where that might go, you know, that could certainly slot him back to the University of Florida. So
already.
But we got a quick change of plans here. Quick announcement, Jacoby Jackson is here, so we're going to bring him on in 1 second. Before we do that, the Gators are going to start the year in basketball against Arizona in Las Vegas on November 3rd. So if you find yourself out there, it is the Hall of Fame series. So again, Gators versus Arizona on November 3rd to start the season. So with that, want to give a quick shout out to our friends over at Homefield Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code STADIUM and Gale at checkout, and you get 15% off of your order. Again, Homefield Apparel, best place to get your vintage Florida Gators clothing, t-shirts, the baseball pullover, the starter jacket looking thing. They've got about 5 pages worth of Florida Gators stuff. So go check out homefieldapparel.com and use promo code STADIUM and Gale. And with that, we will welcome Gators running back Jacoby Jackson to the show. Jacoby, good. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. It was good with you.
What up, y'all? What up?
It's good.
Good to have you, man. Good to have you. So
thanks for pulling up, my guy, man. These guys didn't make the spring game, so they didn't see you go crazy. But I had put a tweet out on the timeline of the Warhawk or whatever running through the safari. And, you know, we exchanged follows, man, and DMs. And thanks for pulling up, man. Hell of a season and also a hell of a spring game.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Jacoby, we're going to start this interview the same way that we start with everybody's interview. You kind of had a roundabout way to University of Florida. Talk to us a little bit about yourself in high school, going to junior college, and ultimately ending up at the University of Florida.
Really just, you know, hard work at coming out of high school. I did, I would say I did everything I needed to do as far as on the field and off the field with school and COVID really the only thing I can say that really happened. The negative that from my high school and then just having to go to junior college and not really caring where it was at, just wanted to play ball and just wanted the opportunity to keep playing football. So,
and in your recruiting process, the pandemic slowed down your recruiting, you think? How did it affect your recruiting? Do you think you would have blew up and been a bigger prospect had it not been for the pandemic?
I would think I would have had more offers, really. I had like three from like UNC Charlotte, Western Kentucky, South Alabama, schools like that. And I really just was trying to wait to see like where I wanted to go with visits wise. So I didn't take a visit before COVID. So when COVID hit, that kind of canceled everything out. And so it's really just like they started signing like whoever, like three stars, whichever high recruit that they could get. So it really just left me just out in the wind, just trying to find somewhere to play ball at. So,
does that affect your confidence at all?
No, definitely not. Definitely. It just made me go harder, to be honest.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So you go to Kahoma Community College. Talk to us a little bit about your time there, and then you know what happened with Billy Napier and the staff. You know, reached out to you. Did you know you wanted to go? I know you're originally from Pensacola and Pensacola Catholic High School. Did you know you wanted to go to Florida when that offer came? Or talk to us a little bit about that.
So really, coming out of junior college, I was committed to Charleston Southern, and then so as I graduated, like the day before graduation, Florida, Jacob LaFrance, the analysis. They hit me up and everything through Twitter and stuff, but I thought it was I didn't really know if it was real or not. So, you know, I went to Googling names and stuff like that. And then it was real. So kind of caught me by surprise. And then Coach Jaluk came to my high school. We met up at my high school. He watched me work out a little bit and stuff like that. And then got down here to Gainesville, went on a visit with my mom, just me and my mom, and kind of went around the campus. And that's when I got with Coach Nate, and it was just, he said he liked me and everything else, and he gave me the offer. So that's all it really took. Like, it wasn't no more else to it. It just the offer. I knew, like, once I got offered, I was coming to Florida. Like, no matter what, that's where I was going to be at. So
yeah, one thing I'm going to tell you, man, as a prior JUCO guy, you go through some hell and high water to get to a place like University of Florida through the JUCO ranks, man. So what was that journey like at JUCO?
Just staying down, just continue to grind. My family back at home always motivated me, sent me text messages and stuff. So that kind of like helped me, and just knowing where I come from as well, just knowing like I was already, you know, from the projects I would say and everything else. So just continue like, you know, just proving everybody wrong and proving myself right, to be honest. That's it. I know I can always play football. So I kind of didn't know like, whichever level it was, I can play football. So that's just kind of me. It's football.
What was that step up for you? So Jordan Scarlett, who's on the show, he's a running back. The Gators. We talked about a lot about this when he joined the show. What was that step up for you going from JUCO to that first practice at UF?
Oh man, it was crazy. I mean, just everything. Everything was crazy. The tempo, just the intensity of practice, the energy, the amount of energy you have to put every day in practice, all of it was something different. And it was something I had to learn and adjust to, I would really say. But I adjusted well and caught on well. So having those guys like Trevor Montrell in the room when I got here and Treyon Webb, like just watching them and watching how they do things, that helped me out. So
I know they say you came from JUCO. I like to call it out the mud, my guy. But
You a real product, man, that made it out of the mud. And I'm just proud to see your journey. I'm glad to see what you got going on. But when you did go into that locker room and you first stepped into that running back room, how'd you feel as far as your playing level? Like you said, you jumped into a room with a bunch of guys, knowing Montrell kind of came from Napier's last school kind of deal. And just how'd you feel? How was your vibe in the room once you first got there?
The vibe was smooth. I really would just say just knowing, like, having confidence in myself. So I didn't really care about who was in the room. I kind of did my research and found out who was in the room. It was just more about just getting here, learning, and doing everything I need to do so I can get on the field. So
right, for sure.
So now you guys have, well, widely considered, at least amongst people that watch the game, one of the best backfields, you know, in the SEC, maybe in college football next year with you, Trey Webb, Jaden Ball, Caden Daniels. You guys brought in a couple of good freshmen as well. Talk to us a little bit of competition in that room. I know you guys are all brothers and you guys are all looking out for each other, but there's got to be a nice, healthy competition there. What's that like in practice?
Oh, yeah, it's very healthy competition. Just, you know, motivating each other, making sure everybody doing what they need to do. And that's what you need in the team. Like, everybody for each other. We're brothers in the room. At the end of the day, we're going to motivate each other and we're going to get on each other when we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And so just having that, really, that's the type of room you need. So. Yeah,
that's good. Watching your game, man, one thing I say I love about your game, man, I love your physicality, the way you run the ball and your contact balance. I feel like you very rarely let the first dude tackle you, which I love about your game and the contact balance. I emphasize that because a lot of people, when they get touched or arm tackle running through the hole or bouncing off somebody, they tend to get loose with the ball or anything, just maybe a trip over something so simple. But I feel like you do a good job of staying your ground and kind of running physical throughout the whole time you're running the route. So I definitely love that about it. And I also wanted to ask you a question as well, as far as how do you think the running back room will go this year? Are you cool with running back by committee? Are you cool with that sort of deal to where, because when I was playing, we kind of did it by drives, which I kind of got used to it, but it used to be one drive, I get one. Next drive, P. Ryan get one. Next drive, Pierce get one. And, like, we'll just rotate like that all game. And, I mean, it's good because you're kind of fresh, but I just want to get your take on how you feel about it moving into the upcoming season, knowing how deep we is in the backfield.
I wouldn't have a problem with it. I feel very confident in every guy in the room. You know, once the freshmen come along and they understand the system a little more, they'll be ready to go. So, I mean, just – everybody staying positive, motivating each other. That's going to get the best out of every person on the team. So that's how I look at it.
Right.
What's your favorite run play in the offense?
Favorite run, I would say outside zone, like night, like scratch, or I would say inside zone. Yeah.
Outside zone, give you all the options in the world. Cut it in or keep it going. That's a good one. Yeah, for
sure. And what type of coaches Jaluka, he does a good job of evals. When you first committed, you know how fans are, man. I know you guys see the social media and they, who is this three-star kid that we losing Trevor Etienne to Georgia? Who is they bringing in, right?
Yeah.
But so far, man, Jaluka has hit on every running back he's brought in. Like, the eval has been on point regardless of the star rating. Just looking at Jaden Ball, he wasn't one of those highly regarded guys, but he's one of the best freshman backs last year in the country. What type of relationship you guys got with Jaluka, and how good of a running back coach is he?
Coach Jaluka is a great running back coach, and all us in the room are tight with him. I would just say he's a coach that make us pay attention to, like, the little stuff, like footwork, knowing who we got before the ball is even snapped, certain things like that. Really just all attention right. to detail, making sure we're doing what we need to do to be the best running back room that we could be. So. Yeah.
How important is pass blocking in the offense?
Pass blocking is like the number one in the offense. If you can't pass block, you can't get on the field. That's really what coach tell us. So we take pride in pass blocking.
Especially if you don't know who you got, man.
If you don't even know who you got, that's really the main thing.
When you think about blocking them, you got to know who you got.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do got one more question for you, man. How is the emphasis on team run? Because when I was in school, I feel like as a running back room, I can't speak for everybody else, but we took pride in team run. We used to love, that's the first thing we cut on when we go in the film room next day is team run. So I just want to know, what's y'all emphasis like on team run? Is Coach Jaluka emphasizing team running now, like that? This is our period.
And like, what's the intensity like for y'all? Do y'all take it serious and y'all competing with each other to see who can hit them home runs?
Yeah, so I really would say team run would be the most intensive like part of the practice. Just I know we take, like you said, as our running backs, we take a lot of pride in team run. We don't want to lose. We don't want to get stopped for short yardage. Yeah. Everybody want to break big runs. So I would say, yeah, like that's our drill. Like you said, we take pride in that. We want to win that every day. So,
Jacoby, for those that may not know, of course I do, but for the fans that don't listen, what is team run?
Team run is just starting defense versus starting O, and it's running. It's just running the ball.
Everybody
knows both sides. Everybody in the building know it's team run. Everybody know we run the ball. So it's just wanting more.
No pass plays, all run. Ain't no play all action, run. No none. So the defense got the ears pinned back, trying to get to the ball.
Yeah.
Who bringing the most smoke on that defense, man, in practice?
Most smoke, I would say Tyreek and George. They bring a lot of energy on defensive side, inside run. So every time we get into it with them, like we know it's time to go to work.
A little bit sat, don't be playing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I want to be tackled by either one of them. I want to ask you guys, kind of went a little viral for some celebrations that you guys did revolving the belt to ask. Talk to us a little bit about that celebration. And obviously there was a belt available, so this is some pre-planned at least, or hey, yeah, some stuff.
It really wasn't planned. Okay. I was doing it, and then I kind of just end up with a belt in my hand from somebody on the sideline. So that was kind of fun.
Staff belts.
Yeah, I just end up with a belt, and then yeah. So being back close to the crib back in Tallahassee.
Did you grow up a Florida State fan?
Nah, definitely not.
Nah? That's crazy. In the 850. Who did you grow up cheering for?
The Gators and somebody else. That's don't matter now because I'm a Gator. So
yeah. Great answer, man. This guy doesn't need PR, man.
Yeah.
Who you listening to pregame?
Pregame NBA YoungBoy every time. Gotta get in that mode. I might turn on some Rod Wave. It all depends.
Nah, don't cry.
Keep it. Nah, I ain't crying. It just
Rod Wave early in the morning just to get that mind right for the turn up.
Yeah, it's to get the vibe right to think about all the flashback what you'd have been through. That's what Rod Wave.
Yeah, reflecting.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite? I'll go all y'all boys back. Got to jump in.
No, you're good. Keep going.
Who's your favorite running back growing up? Who'd you like watching? Or who do you model your game?
I really watched Derrick Henry growing up, big back, really just looking for the stiff arm and just aggressive running. And I would say LaDainian Tomlinson, LeSean McCoy, Le'Veon Bell, those type of guys. Just really watching those, just trying to mimic what a little stuff that they do. But that's why I really like the stiff arm though from the running backs though. So
So fast forwarding a little bit on the schedule, who you looking forward to playing this year? What you interested on the game in a swamp or on the road, maybe to knock somebody off?
In the swamp for sure. I'm looking forward to the Texas game. Really every game, but Texas game for sure.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
You got some be there
boys this year. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm asking both of y'all running backs. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Ask both of y'all running backs, you and Jordan. You got to choose one of the three, or you can put them in order. Juke, truck stick, or stiff arm?
It really depends. Like, what this is weird.
What I'm doing. Yeah.
If you got to make a highlight.
We ain't doing no juking. We going straight down your face. So,
which highlight you want to make? I make you get a little stiff arm on the sideline.
Yeah, so making ESPN out, it'll definitely be the stiff arm. It'll be the crazy stiff arm.
Well, yeah, I feel that.
Go ahead. Going back to these super chat donations. Anthony Beck said 850 in the building. And we got one from a fan favorite over here. I'm him, said he wants you to convince Coach Nape that he needs to get a lineup. He's out here looking crazy. I find a lot more hair, you know what I mean?
What do you think about the name? I like the nickname Jack Cheese, man. Where did that come from? Jaloop?
Yeah, that came from Coach Luke. Just one practice. I don't know. He was just like Jack Cheese, and that's kind of just where it went. You know, it kind of came around the facility name and everything else. Not everybody knows, so yeah.
What's one thing you're working on this offseason?
Just really, really speed. Just more speed, getting faster. Just getting faster. That's more explosive. That's really my main thing this offseason, I would say, and just continue to be a leader, a positive leader to my teammates and everything.
You one of the older guys in the room now, huh?
Yeah.
This is still a young room. And also, this is my last question. What do you think about the JUCO rule change? And they gave you guys some eligibility back. You know, what was that like for you when you got that news?
I mean, I don't know, because I haven't used any of those years, and I don't know how they're going to do it or anything. I know I would love to have, like, two years, a year back. So, I mean, yeah, but they haven't discussed anything about it. So, right now, this is my last year, and that's how we're going to do it right now. So,
right. Okay.
Wow. I'm about to say, man, I just want to give you just a little piece of advice. I ain't knocking your game. When I heard this, when I was in your position, I felt like my coach was knocking my game when he told me this. What I'm about to tell you this, it has nothing to do with your gameplay. I'm not saying you're not going to be a starter, baller, Hall of Famer. I got belief in you. But I will say, take special teams serious right now, man. Like, I don't care if you're not even on none. Say, coach, man, put me in there on practice at least. Just so you got
to. I start on all phases of special team.
Perfect. So, stay in the mix, because the next level, brother, that way they're going to throw you at first. And that's going to really determine if you made that roster, if you're dressing up and being active on game day, et cetera, et cetera. When I first heard that come from my coach, I'm like, look at that nigga, I'm for the start. What you talking about? So obviously I was a hard-headed dude, man, but I definitely want to just always pass it on to my backs, because as running backs, we're the most athletic position. We fast. We got good feet, we physical, and we honestly one of the best things to be on special teams, because we can handle the ball well. We know how to handle the ball as well as we know how to block. We physical, we fast. So really, they always want to use running backs on teams. So if you can go into the league knowing all four and killing all four, brother, you're going to be in there for a long time.
Yes, sir. I got you. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Jacoby, we appreciate your time, man. I wanted to tell you something. Not sure if you've been told. If you looked at all of the top running backs in the class of 2024 that went to the NFL, and then you looked at your ability to have more than 5 yards on a carry, you outperformed them as a percentage of your carries above 5 yards. So I'm super pumped for you next year, man. You're one of my favorite Gators to watch. I think you're going to have a hell of a year and a breakout year, and I think it goes to show your hard work's paying off, man. So keep up the good work, man. We'll wish you the best of luck. And you do much social media stuff or not too much?
Yeah, I'll be on the social media a lot more now. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let everybody know where they can follow you, man. We appreciate your time today.
All right, y'all can follow me at jjack.5 on Instagram, at 24jjack on Twitter, X. So, yeah. I appreciate y'all for having me today as well.
Appreciate it, my guy.
Best of luck with everything, dude.
All right.
Good luck with your shit, man. Go eat.
Yes.
Eat, nigga. Set the ass up. I'm going to be watching.
Jacoby Jackson. I mean, we can talk a little bit about running backs. I mean, I know everybody has Jaden Ball penciled in as a starter. Maybe he will be, but of the running back room, I'm excited to see KD and what he can do with a few more snaps. So I think I'm most excited about Jacoby Jackson going into next year.
Yeah. I said this before. I know everybody got Jaden Ball penciled in as RB1. I don't know if the coaches feel that way. Similar to with the ETN situation with Montrell, everybody seen ETN as running back one, and the coaches didn't see it that way. So I think Jacoby's going to get RB1 level of snaps between him and Jaden Ball. Ceiling wise, I do think Jaden Ball has a higher ceiling, but Jacoby he got that different type of hunger and energy around him. You know, he got that JUCO and the underdog mentality. He came into that room. His biggest offer before Florida was Charleston Southern. So, you know, he's coming in a little bit hungry. You can see it in every run. His first step is aggressive. He ain't pussyfooting around. He's getting downhill. I like his balance. Kid brings a lot to the table, man. I just don't think that everybody see it the same. Either way, I don't think there's a big drop-off when you go from RB1, 2, or 3. I like Kaden Daniels. Webb is going to be back. Hopefully healthy. He should be healthy by the fall. I know he was still kind of getting his feet under him spring. And you still got Byron Lewis. It's just a lot of guys in that room that could just
You got Duke Clark in there too. You got kind of a crowded room. Not necessarily that's a bad thing, but you know, it's a delicate balance in relying on the hot hand. Jordan, talk to us a little bit about your experience. You play with some other running backs, you know, where you guys were kind of splitting carries and everything else. I know you've talked a little bit about on the show and, you know, running the hot hand and everything else, but what are your thoughts? How would you, if you were coaching, deal with kind of a plethora of backs?
I would say, given the situation we got now, I honestly would let Jaden Ball run off as being RB1 just because of his ability to catch out the backfield, I believe, is better than all of them. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen everybody to kind of give that real analysis, but I think his running ability and catching ability is both very high to where he should be the starter. And I think Jack Cheese, I'm using your nickname now, my dog. Yeah, like I think that, Jack Cheese is going to benefit a lot out of him being RB1 because he comes in as fresh legs, very powerful. At the defense, just got done with dealing with a very powerful Jaden Ball. You worry about him coming out the backfield. Let's just say he's even a third down back on a particular situation to even pass block. Not saying that Jack Cheese would be in free release. He's just being a pass block kind of guy. And then you mess around, it's a third and long. You just sneak around and give him a draw. I like him in a draw on a little third and eight. You ain't expecting no run plan, and you got a light box. We got him spread out wide. I like my chances with him to break a one-on-one tackle. So I think he's going to benefit a lot out of being RB2, if you want to call it. But I agree with Corey in that he will be getting equal snaps to Jaden Ball, I believe, throughout the game just because of his running ability and how he's a vet. He probably knows pass protection the best out of everybody in the room, so the coaches trust him in that regard. So in current situations, I think you could see a lot of 24 this year. So I'm excited to see what it's going to be like.
No doubt.
Corey, what do you think? You think Jacoby and then Ball?
I just think it's 1A, 1B. I think snap-wise, it's going to be insane. I wouldn't be surprised if – you know, first play of the game is Jacoby just cause, but I think ultimately at the end of the day, I think Barr is more talented and he gets more snaps, but I just think it's going to be, you know, it's not that it's you, what do they call it?
It's not cut and dry.
It's not cut and dry. I would say, I mean, injury and health wise is going to be a thing too. And then you're trying to figure out the snaps of RB3. We got a good problem in the running back room. Yeah. And if our defense is good, we get more possessions. You know, we count the snaps from last year. It was a little bit different. But if we're getting stops, we get the ball more. And if we're up, you know, like Jordan was saying, like being able to bring guys in to just close games out, you'll have fresh legs with your running back 3 and 4. And the drop-off is not tremendous whatsoever. If there's a drop-off, I think all four of our running backs, 5, 6, can play, you know.
Yeah, I think the delta between all of them is pretty limited, and I think they all bring different, you know, things to the ball field. Obviously, I like Jacoby Jackson a lot in pass protection, a lot. I think Jaden Ball's good at it too. You know, Kanan Daniels, we don't know a ton, and then Tre'Davious Webb's coming back from injury, so you know that certainly could play into it, but. You know, being able to stack rank your running backs and play them throughout the game and hopefully not get too tired and be able to wear opponents down that way. It's the Billy Napier way to wear your opponents down on the ground. So super excited for Jacoby Jackson. Appreciate him coming on the show and looking forward to watching him this upcoming season. Like Truth Seeker say, hey, if everybody that's watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, comment. All that kind of fun stuff. We appreciate the super chat donations from Anthony and I'm him. We take those all show and we'll do whatever we can to get to that question as quickly as possible. To pay our show a little bit more, do want to give a shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. You're looking for a cool cup like the three of us have. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. You'll get 15% off of your order. Best cups in the land. Keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. Brought one out this past Friday when I was out golfing. Still ice in it after a couple hours. Now you say, Dan, that doesn't seem very long. It was like 93 degrees. So shout out to these cubs for getting their work done.
The temperature's crazy out there right now.
Dude, they said Tampa might get 100 degrees for the first time ever in recorded history on Saturday. Not looking forward to that. All right, let's get into a little bit of football. Some news here. Harold Stubbs, who's Drake Stubbs' brother, has announced that he's going to grad transfer to the University of Florida. He wants to play his final 2 years with his brother, who's previously a walk-on at Florida State University. Let's get into a little bit of recruiting. Let me get my page up for that. The Gators did land after a big weekend in recruiting, brought a lot of talent into the University of Florida. The Gators did land the commitment of Jameer Perez, a three-star defensive lineman, 6'4", 330 pounds, from Glenville High School in Cleveland, Ohio. Held offers from Ohio State, Wisconsin. I think Alabama was one of the other schools that had offered him, Iowa. So a lot of big name schools after him, probably not going to be a three-star for very long, but currently ranked as the 547th best player in the country and the number 56th overall defensive lineman. Right in the middle there. Gators need some help in the middle of the trenches. What are your guys' thoughts on Jameer Perez?
That was a good get.
Go ahead.
I said, I watched some tape today. I watched his junior highlights. Now this is somebody that looks a little impressive. He's jumping off the charts. He's looking like a man amongst boys to a certain extent. And that's what I need to see out of an SEC D lineman. I ain't throwing no shots. I ain't going back at my boy again. I'm going to leave him where he be. I hope he got the message. But I'm impressed with this kid overall, man. I'm excited to get that commitment. Obviously, commitments this early are a bit tough, but I'm going to hold on to it like he's a Gator right now. So I like it.
Yeah, that's the most important part, Jordan. Like, we got to remember it's still May.
Right, it's so early. But, like,
yeah,
I'm just hoping that he's like, man, I'm a Gator. I'm locked in, especially if we have a great season. It'd really be hard for you just to turn the cheek on us and like, come on. Now, if we stink it up, I completely understand.
You can't turn his cheeks on us, man. It's crazy.
But not until Nick's back to do the cheek check on his way out. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Get away from Nick for that part, man. But Jared Chapman is doing a good job in that room, man, evaluating. And also, this was a David Reese evaluation, former Gator linebacker. They brought him on the staff. This is a guy that he met when he was at Eastern Michigan or something like that. Brought him to the staff's attention. Ohio State offered him last month. A lot of people from our Ohio State world, you know, kind of thought they had him in the bag since he's from the Midwest out in that way. But the kids say he wanted to play in the SEC. That's one of the reasons. Shout out to just the visit weekends. Everything you're seeing image-wise, they're doing a good job of just, you know, building buzz on the internet and getting these kids hyped, whatever pictures they're taking. But yeah, like you said, Jordan jumps off the film. Like, he's just not a space eater. You know, he collapsed in the pocket. He's making, you know, TFLs in the backfield. Like, that's the type of action I like from a defensive tackle. I'm with you, man. But, you know, he fits the mold of what they've been putting in that room for the most part. You know, shout out to Jared Chapman.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of quotes. Shout out to Corey Bender for this article. Corey, you mentioned it. Jameer Perez said about committing to Florida. He said, for me, I'm from Ohio. I had Ohio State, and being an Ohio kid, that's usually the dream, but I always dreamed of playing in the SEC. I feel like I'm an SEC body type. I'm an SEC type of player. Florida just made it home, which is interesting thing to say for a team that's recruiting you that just won the national championship. But that's what I like to see. He said, I saw the vision. Coach Chapman made me see the vision. Everybody else made me see the vision. I'm home. I told Coach Napier and he was happy. I told a couple of players here last night that I was going to do it. Once I told Coach, he was hype and ready for it. Now it's the time to put in that work. About his visits or future visits or future recruiting, he said, it's shut down. There ain't no more room for anybody else. I'm home. I feel home, and it's time to put in that work. I got to tell the other schools that it's all love at the end of the day, but it is what it is. So welcome Jameer Perez to the University of Florida, and we will talk about this when recruiting starts again in November and December. But you still have to put the legwork in. It's not all money. It's a lot of money, but it's not all money. while you're building your recruiting class, you still need to build those relationships and everything else. The Gators did have a big weekend on the recruiting trail. And just like Corey mentioned, want to give the flowers to the creative team, to the recruiting team, to Dave's Freshly Used, whose name I'm forgetting. It's not Dave.
It's not Dave.
It's not Dave. I forgot what it is. Go visit him at Dave's Freshly Used on all social media platforms. If you're ever looking for vintage, like true vintage stuff, not just what Home Field Apparel says, shout out to the sponsorship from them, but go give a look to at Dave's Freshly Used, incredible swath of products that he has from multiple generations there. But they set up a visit room that's beautiful.
He let me call him Dave for like 2 years before he said, "Hey man, my name's not Dave." I was like, "Bro, why?" I think I had to like cash app him or something. Then I seen his real name. I was like, "Bro, your name's not even Dave, man." He's like, "Nah, people call me Dave all the time." I was like, "All right, bro,
cool." Yeah, I don't. I think he bought the brand. I don't know his story. Yeah. Maybe we should bring him on the show and talk to him about it. Yeah, fantastic guy. Shout out to Dave's Freshly Used. If you guys know his name, I want to give him a shout out.
I keep forgetting it. I keep calling him Dave.
That's what he's going to be for right now. So go check out his handle. The Gators hosted five-star offensive tackle, Felix Ojo, who Florida looks to be sitting in a good position for. A lot of other people that are offering him and recruiting him. I think Texas is the leader. He's an in-state Texas kid. Ohio State has been a threat, but Florida is pitching him early playing time. Florida does have a good NIL package for him. So again, not putting my eggs in the five-star offensive line bucket until we get one, but
that's a guy. I like what I'm hearing, and I'm not gonna get too excited about recruiting. I know we were the first of five visits, right? Yeah. But it's just when you start hearing the quotes back and you're reading a lot of things about family. I know Napier and those guys are really good, Nellen, Faith, family, that whole dynamic is their bag. So when I started hearing quotes coming back from the players and the parents about family atmosphere, and they start talking about their faith, I feel real good in that recruitment because that's Billy's bag. That kid definitely put together ugly repertoire of outfit from Gator World when he did his pictures, man. Like, I don't know who let him dress himself, but he put the craziest combination. I was like, bro, we cannot let him
take pictures like that. Yeah.
No, you can't let him do that. You got to save him from himself.
Get signed soon.
Yeah. I also like the NIL talk he was saying. Like, in one of those, I don't know if it's Corey Bender or Zach. I read so many articles in this world. It could have been Corey, could have been Zach, could have been Thomas, who knows? But he said something about NIL. He knows he's going to the NFL and his goal is to be a first round draft pick. So NIL is not going to play a major part in his decisions. Another thing I want to hear from recruits on the trail, you're going to get paid, but it's not a deciding factor. Also, it looks to be like Oregon leads, and Oregon leads, I like us versus Dan Lanning if it's not NIL.
For Ojo?
Night. Huh?
For Ojo?
Yeah, for Ojo.
Oh, I thought Texas led, but maybe not. Maybe there is no true leader.
I don't know. Oregon. Could be either or, right?
I'm just going off of On3. I don't follow the kids.
Me neither.
I know you don't either. No. I know. I'm not saying that you're in the recruiting world anymore. But that's just, yeah.
Oh, that's what the predictions are at, percentages? The
predictions are at Texas, but I mean, we've learned a lot about these predictions, Texas,
right?
Yeah, I'm about to say them Texas kids be lying. I swear. That's whatever fits the situation at hand. No way a kid is going to tell a reporter on actually where his process is at and who he's really high on. He's lying, okay? Yeah, he's almost never works out in the favor of, they were at the top on the draft board and then didn't go there because they were never really at the top.
They definitely be lying. That's why I stopped following it to November.
I'm telling you, let me know when you about to put the hat on. Then I will come look.
They lie when they about to put the hat on. Like, they lie until the very end.
For real.
They lie until that check has been written out.
For sure.
Been wired over, and they're still lying.
They're still lying. You want to get more candy. Yeah.
but you can't do anything about it. What are you gonna do? Make yourself ineligible? Yeah. Like, come on. Oho. I think it's Oho. OJO. It might be Ojo, but I don't think so. I took enough Spanish to know. Four-star wide receiver Calvin Russell was on campus. Florida's in the mix. LSU, Oregon, UNC, Miami, Florida State, and Michigan are also in the mix early on in his visit schedule, but he is going to commit July 5th. So getting an early visit can sometimes be good to set the tone. Also, you're going to be battling a lot of other programs for him. He has two uncles that played for the University of Florida back in the 90s. Four-star cornerback Chauncey Keenan was on campus. LSU and Georgia have potentially the lead, as well as Florida, Florida State, and Miami also stand out early. He was on campus early on in his visit cycle here. He is going to come back on June 3rd for an unofficial visit. He's also committing on July 5th. So again, getting him back on campus is going to be big, and hopefully the Florida Gators can get his signature. Four-star edge Luke Waffle, W-A-F-L-E, four-star edge. Had a lot of good things to say about the University of Florida. Penn State is the school to beat. His brother plays on Penn State. So maybe not. But he was also on campus, had good things to say. Four-star offensive tackle Ekeen Agboko was on campus. Did not visit with his mother, so you know that usually decides some of these commits and where they go and how their family plays. His older brother plays at Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, also heavily involved in his commitment. He's going to talk again with NIL about NIL with UF this weekend. Carson Baker, four-star running back, was on campus. If you're looking to spell that, that's C-A-R-S-Y-N, which is the first time I've ever seen Carson spelled that way. Love to learn new ways to pronounce names unless I ever have a son. Clemson, likely the team that's up there along with Texas and there's another school. I don't remember who's involved there. It's not in my notes. And I can't go off memory here. That's what we got. Ohio State, South Carolina, Clemson, Florida, and Texas A&M.
Very nice.
So that's where they're at in recruiting. This won't be an often thing that we do on this show. Just as you know, as we know, I think the Gators had 5 commits going into November of last year and flipped 16 guys before the middle of December.
I ain't tripping on no rankings. The relationships are there, and I've seen these guys work, you know, and like recruiting isn't a commitment means Nathaniel in 2025. I just don't care about it. Keep the relationships going. I watch the visits in the fall. I want to know who they still communicating with, who they're getting on campus, you know, for these. Because this is official visit season, so when they're coming throughout the season, that's more of, you know, technically not a free, you know, trip. So the effort – to come to a Saturday game or even Friday after you finish your game as a high school player, that shows a little bit more effort. So just watch the visits. That's still the same vibes. Follow the visits. And then around November, you know, you'll start seeing guys visit a little bit more, change their bios, you know, profile pictures. And that's my world. That's when I get in my bag and start trolling.
I wanted to talk about Will Griffin. So Tampa Jesuit, where Will Griffin is the quarterback going into his senior year, played Lakeland and Ahmad Black this weekend. I believe the final score was 30-17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tampa Jesuit over Lakeland. Guy that got the internet in a frenzy because of some comparisons maybe to a quarterback that wore number 15. I didn't compare him to number 15, but the internet did. What's your thoughts, Corey, on Will Griffin?
Yeah, the Tebow comparisons like the Percy Harvin comparisons, man. You're going to
just get him forever?
Yeah, it's just not going to go well, man, amongst, like, you know, and there's don't be total comparisons. But when he broke the pocket and flattened that linebacker, safety, whoever that was, man, like, it was a lot of violence. And it's just, you know, big Caucasian fella that's built like Tebow, trucking people. Yeah, I think the kid had a good game. Like Lakeland last year, they said he struggled a lot. This game, he moved the ball pretty well. He had a turnover versus Lakeland. I know the rivals were sharing that a lot, but quarterbacks are going to throw interceptions, man. But the performance, I think, against a team like Lakeland showed a lot of promise. I think he still got some developing to do. I like O'Hara and Billy to get him on point where he need to be from a developmental standpoint. But he got a lot to work with, man. Size-wise, he ain't a kid that I would want to just, you know, play early when he get on campus. So, Tramiel, the guys that are on campus need to develop and get better. But I think with a couple years under O'Hara and, you know, his body continue to fill out, you know, his knowledge of the game continue to grow, he could be, you know, a weapon, a guy that you can run between the tackles and outside the box, man. So, I like what I saw spring. There's still a lot more football to be played.
Yeah, no, I think he played well. I know that he's got some work that he's been working on. A buddy of mine is good friends with his quarterback coach. So I know that there's a lot that he's working on. He's gotten better. There's a lot of analysis coming out for those that are, you know, keep a much closer eye on high school recruiting that said, you know, that he looks to have a lot more confidence in his throwing motion and the way that he is poised during the game. So, you know, that's ultimately what Florida wants and Florida needs out of a quarterback. They locked onto Will Griffin pretty early, and he's been committed in this class for a while. So a guy that continues to get better and hopefully gets an opportunity at the University of Florida to showcase his skill set. I know from everything that I heard is he's a very hard worker and a guy that wants to get better and has the opportunity, all the opportunity ahead for him to be a good SEC caliber quarterback. So go check that out. There's a lot of people online that put videos of Will Griffin and his performance against Lakeland. Again, Jesuit.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do people get mad if, like, do you think people get just as mad if, like, if he wore 11, like the kids wearing 11 in high school, right? Do you think, and then people mentioned, I mentioned him wearing possibly 15 when he got to college and like asking the fans, like, how would they react? Not me suggesting, just asking how would they react if Billy gave him 15. Do you think fans had the same reaction about, you know, him wearing 11 if he came?
No. I don't even know how many off the street Gator fans would know Steve Spurrier wore 11. You know, the people that get mad online seem to be.
What about 7?
TV generation.
What about 7?
What are we doing with that 15, though? Why are people still able to wear that, especially quarterback? Can we have a quick conversation about that one or what? Not really.
Purifoy's honor.
Yeah, I don't know if Riddell is allowing people to wear his jersey and them like that.
Bruh, like, I ain't saying Tebow's all hell, but at some point it to be.
Yeah, Tebow, yeah, it was pretty nice.
Okay, so now I'm be like, the same pace.
They don't have any single jersey retired at UF.
Yeah, no jersey retired. Here's my take, though, right? It still got me. I think it still should be some respect on the numbers. So,
thank you.
Here's my take, right? I'm not mad that the AR wore it, right? Because there was a lot of potential there of him being, you know, like there was a lot of hype, and we thought that AR could possibly be, and the talent was there. We know what he could have been. He was protecting his body. He played a little, you know, close to the vest, trying to go first round. But the potential of him wearing that number AR-15 was like a good little branding play. You know, we get it. That where I draw the line at is no shot at Mertz, but the Mertz, and now we have Harrison Bailey wearing it, right? We at some point we gotta.
Where is the respect? Dude,
they had Jacob Guy wearing 15.
Yes,
walk on.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Where is the respect for this number? Like, this man put real deal blood, sweat, and tears behind that 15. I'm not saying you got to retire it and nobody else can wear it, but it needs to be respected. Of like, okay, we're not just gonna give your average, like you just said, Jacob Guy walk on. I love him to death. He's a cool dude. You did not deserve to have a picture in the number 15 Florida Gators jersey. I'm sorry.
I wish you could have seen the internet during your time.
Yeah,
the amount of people that wanted Jacob Guy to be the starting quarterback. No shot at Jacob Guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. I've heard good things about him as an individual. But the number of people on the internet, and Nick was like, dude, great guy. There's a reason. Everyone's like, no, go bring Jacob Guy back. He's going to restore number 15 back to prominence. Corey remembers. Corey was there.
Fuck, no. Nah, I could have told y'all that.
Nah, bro. Anybody that said Jacob guy blocked him, like, all right, bro, this is unserious.
Yeah, no, but, you know, like I said, and then EUC Death Ray, I got to know a little bit more about the username there. I said, we don't retire jerseys. Spurs was actually retired for a while, and he brought it back for Ben Hanks to wear. Yeah, no, I mean, Flores never retired. I mean, you could look at, you know, number 11, number 7, number 15, you know, Jack Youngblood's number if you're really looking to ever retire. Yeah. But unless you have a storied tradition about it, then you're just running into it with the amount of people that are on the roster, you know. But I think that they should treat the number 15 with a little prominence. I agree with you,
that's
Scarlett.
That's all I'm saying. I ain't asking for no retirement. Nobody else could ever put it on. But let's just have a little bit more thought process when we're thinking about who we're putting in the 15 this year. Y'all do that for number one. Not anybody can get number one.
Mm.
Like,
well,
given who the coach is, let me say that. If the coach is new and the recruit's good enough and hyped enough, he can get it. But yeah, it's still thought about. It's not just, here you go, you can have number one. It's okay, you're deserving of number one. You can be a somewhat of a captain, a leader of this team. We'll give you one. Or you're an elite player, we'll give you one. But anybody, they're throwing walk-ons in 15, like you said, and that's just downright disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah. Like, with come you, man. On. There's certain numbers we just got to put respect on, bro. If a legend wore it, I mean, every school does it. Billy had just made it, you know, very known that he doesn't really put any emphasis on numbers, which I think isn't totally true. But I just don't think it's a coincidence that he may be trolling us a little bit, too. Like,
look, I think he's trying to mess with us on the low.
So, four guys getting 15 back-to-back like this? Like, all right, Billy, I see you. Three. Three. That's what you're doing, bro.
He really trying to send a message, eh?
Yeah, y'all opinions don't matter.
Well, pretty much.
What school is it that is it Penn State that puts their best player in some funky number? The chat will let me know.
I think that's LSU, right?
Yeah, LSU does it. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, they gave like the honor.
It's a bum-ass number too, right?
They gave the honorary seven to like a lineman one time. And so
no, I don't think it's the number. I thought it was like a funky number. I could be wrong and just you know, crossing my neurological streams here. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was a Big Ten school that did it.
George, you think a couple numbers 18? Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, 18. Maybe that's what it is, because maybe I saw some funky position wearing 18. And like that's you think the best player on the team should get 15, Jordan? Or I think, just
no quarterback. If you're an elite quarterback, like you said, like he mentioned, AR. Obviously, AR didn't pan out to be a Tim Tebow type of guy for us.
The hype was there.
He'll be like in the league, but he had potential to be that. It was ringing with the AR-15. He was an elite player, high-level quarterback. Cool. Or even if, like, you gave Lagway 15, he's a good potential. Like, I get that. But on a dude like, what's the Aiden Warner? I'm not saying he has 15, but giving him 15 just because you're running out of numbers at the quarterback position is not acceptable. Like, I know Tebow be looking at that like, bro, y'all boys is just trying.
You gotta say the Christian thing. I don't think Tebow cares, to be honest.
No, he cares.
Anybody else?
He cares. It's just unchristian to like say, hey, don't put that bomb in my number.
Also, he probably feels like, well, I don't want to be that guy to like downplay somebody else. And he almost wants nobody else to make that number look as good as he did. So he's like, y'all want to put a scrub in it? Fine.
Jordan wants his quarterback in like number 19.
Please, if you ain't done like Tebow, don't even try.
Yeah, to see AR, even AR in it, man, to watch him dance out of bounds in 15 was egregious. I was like, hey, bro, you got to truck somebody in that number.
Come on, like,
give me one truck.
We talking about tradition and what all has been dealt with and what all the blood, sweat, and tears been
behind. Leave it all on the field with that 15.
Come on, man. I need
even, on offense, even like not quarterback wise, it's still a like legendary number. Even if you go retail and purr for it, they represented that number very strong.
Come on, man. You're saying Riedel, Tebow, and then love my boy Luchez.
Luchez got off while he was here. Like, you say what you want, but he had a hell of a season.
That 1 year, those first two years, not bad.
Yeah, and then the Molly happened, but before then, he was balling.
The what happened?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh my
god, legend. Everything's a legend on these shows, man. Him and Roberson, bro. Like that was a crazy year.
They were both like preseason first round draft picks, and then they were postseason not drafted.
Right.
Nuts.
Right.
Shout out to Marcus Roberson, Stadium Gale alum, Marcus Roberson. Early episodes.
I probably can get Mark Robe on the pod. Nah, don't get me started.
Well, we already had him on the show. You know what I mean? But we can get him
back in with Robe, man. Yeah. He's down there. I think he's down south. He's training and stuff. Yeah, right,
he's a lot of that, baby. That's a deep side boy right there. That's my dog.
Yeah, yeah.
For those that don't know what the deep side is,
that's Lauderhill. That's Lauderhill, Florida.
Oh, dude, I ran tracks when I was in seventh and eighth grade. At
Lauderhill Sports Complex?
But no. We ran against Lauderhill Middle School.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know if he registered a single point other than whatever the wherever their guys stopped running. And then our best guy, you know, so you maybe get 1, 2, 3 points. You know, Dan Thompson did not register, I don't believe, any points against Lauderhill. No surprise. You know what I mean? No surprise. All right, let's get in on three, ranked the top 100 players in college football for the 2025 season. DJ Lagway, number 12. Too high, too low, just right?
That's fair.
12 is high.
Considering the injuries and all that transpired, like, that's fair. He got something to prove. I like that. You kind of got a little room to prove some and a little motivation to work for. Because I would have not liked if they put him so high. He's up on his high horse and there's really no room to grow. So I like a little. That's a decent number for me. Give him a little more hunger to kind of get climbed to the top.
I can't be mad at 12, man. That's a high number for a guy. You know, just off his rookie campaign, still has a lot to prove. But it's just everybody's preaching to his potential this offseason. So that's why the hype and the buzz is big. I like him at 12.
You think that's too high?
No, not me. I think very highly of the kid, man. So I know I could be a hype machine sometimes, but you know, he's like, I just think from a skill set standpoint, this is not me like being a homer or anything like this, man. From a skill set standpoint, what he can do physically, you know, from his release, like his feel for the game, arm strength, like everything he brings to the table, his focus, leadership qualities. I think 12 is around about right, man. I thought he had, this is not speaking to the same skill set or the same mindset, just from an aura, a leadership, you know, or I think there's a lot of Jameis Winston intangibles, not jumping on the table or doing anything weird in Ubers, but just straight up. Leadership on the field, how players gravitate, even the defense responds when he's in games. That when he's not playing, even the defense play differently, right? So that's just something you just can't measure. And I think, like, DJ Lagway got all the physical tools, but the intangibles is through the roof.
Yeah. No, I don't necessarily disagree about his intangibles and what he could be. I'm just a little worried that the hype train is a little out of control. I think that there's still a lot to improve on. I love DJ Lagway, and I don't want any other quarterback on our roster. I wonder if it's based on more potential, because I don't know if he's the 12th best player right now, as much as the idea is him. Well, and that's what I'm going to get to, because Brandon asked that question, dude, is like, I don't get this either. So Arch Manning is 10th. So they have DJ Lagway as the fourth best coach. And I don't see Arch as the 10th best player in college football next season, like what we know now.
Arch is going to be a baller, bro. It's going to be a showdown with him and DJ Lagway, because Arch is going to be an absolute baller. I was surprised.
If his last name wasn't Manning, though, you probably wouldn't.
No, bro. I'm like outside of the Manning stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like he stepped in big last year. I think watching him,
he looked good.
And watching Quinn Ewers play, I felt like it almost was like, maybe Quinn Ewers shouldn't be playing. And I feel like that's almost good enough at what you want to see out of a backup quarterback. Take the last name off it and kind of look at it like, this is a kid that came in a backup position role, and he kind of made a name for himself. The team loved him. The team rallied around it. They made some players with him out there. The offense looks slightly better, in my opinion, with him out there.
Yeah.
So – that's what I'm going up. I'm not saying he's a top five, whatever quarterback. You feel me? All-American quarterback. He deserves a brick right now because his last name is Manning. But I think based off his gameplay and the hand he was dealt, just stepping in the SEC as a backup quarterback. We seen it when Lagway got hurt. Obviously, our backup isn't like a backup caliber, but it's hard to step in as the backup and see no drop off or maybe an improvement in the offense from the quarterback position. So for him to do that, I got to give my flowers to him and say he's a really good competitor and a really good athlete.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like in high school, watching him as a prospect, watching who he was playing against was a red flag. I was like, bro, he playing against like Pop Warner size kids, you know? So it was hard to see what his athleticism was like. But watching him, even at the first Texas spring game, him get outside the pocket and start running, I'm like, oh, nah, he could skedaggle a little bit, you know? Like, I would say he's just as athletic outside the pocket as Lagway. And just the knowledge of the game, arm strength is on point. I just think he's a polished kid. He's going to have a big season. At 10, I'm not mad at it, man. I think the hype is hype for sure. And I think the hype and the potential, I think both of those guys got the mindset and the intangibles to live up to all the hype they're bringing to them. I don't think neither one of them are listening and buying into it. I think they're in a bubble in their own world doing what those type elite guys, quarterback guys do. So they're not buying into it, but I think both live up to the hype. But I think we swap spots at the end of the season. I think Ladd would be ahead of them.
Yeah, I don't know what this is based off of. Is this based off who they think the 12 best players will be when season comes around, or the 12 best players entering next season? Because I still think that both of those guys have a lot of room to improve. I think DJ's got some work to do on decision making, and I truly think that he will. And I think that he's a guy that has spent a ton of time. And I'm not hating on DJ Lagway at all. I think that he's very capable of being an unbelievable quarterback at the University of Florida. I just look at some of these rankings and I'm just like, if we look at this at season's end and look back, is that what we're doing here? Or are we basing it off of who do we think right now are the top 12 players or top 100 players in college football? And I think that that number is very, very different before the season and at the end of the season. But
yeah, I think that this ring has got to be on how they think the season unfolds.
Okay.
There's nothing based off of last year to say Arch or DJ should be ranked that high. You just seeing the potential and what they possibly could be. And then just kind of basing the list on how you see the season unfolding. How I see it.
Yeah, no, and maybe that's right. I was reading the intro to the article. They don't indicate that. So that's the way that we'll interpret that. And, if DJ Lag was the 12th best player in college football next year, I think the Gators sit in prime position. But they have him ranked as the 4th best quarterback. Sam Levitt from Arizona State, very good quarterback. I'm not surprised that he's number one. Lenora Sellers, number two at the number 8 spot, and then Arch Manning, number 10, the number 3 quarterback spot, and then DJ Lagway is there at 12th. And then Jake Slaughter, number 29, no surprise, All-American center. Again, no surprise, a guy that's, potentially a first-round draft pick as well himself. Caleb Banks comes in at 53rd. Again, a guy that could be a first-round draft pick. A lot of people are excited. I know him coming back maybe kind of got swept under the rug of all of the other news, but I think him coming back is one of the best things that the Gators were afforded this offseason.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of love, too, from the film breaker downers on Twitter and on YouTube and whatnot, like revisiting. There's a lot of people that thought he could have went in the first, second, or third round of this past year's draft, man. But he coming back to solidify his spot a little bit. So I'm not surprised. I thought he'd probably be a little bit higher. But I'm not mad at him at 53. But he's getting a lot of offseason buzz for sure.
Probably hard to rank a center above a lot of the skill positions and stuff that you kind of see. That's what the top 25 is littered with a bunch of. Austin Barber, offensive tackle at number 69. Again, a potential first-round draft pick, maybe second, third-round draft pick, but a guy that's, put in a bunch of blood, sweat, and tears at the University of Florida and is going to look to build off of a good year last year. Tyreek Sapp at 75, again, a guy that a lot of the mock drafts really like as a potential a top draft pick in the NFL draft for the 2026 year. And then Eugene Wilson at 81. Yeah, this list has got to be about how they think they're going to finish. So 6 guys in the top 100. It's probably been a while since we've had 6 guys in the top 100.
I like
it. Everybody's high. on the Gators, except Vegas. Vegas isn't as high, but
and like, I love like Lucius. Like Lucius and Roberson, I hope they're not reading the clippings, you know, like just stay locked in because Mel Kiper's board don't matter next year this time. Mel Kiper is going to be screaming for you how he was screaming for Deion's son if he gets you wrong, man. So
he's still going to talk about Shador next year. Like, well, this guy, but I would have really drafted Shador last year. You wouldn't have to draft a quarterback in the first round. I know how it's going to go, dude. I know how this is going to go.
Kiper was dying on that hill, fam.
Well, good news for the basketball program. Bad news for us. Jonathan Shafir is still at dinner. So that's what we want to hear. So he's not going to be able to join. We'll get him on in the next couple weeks. I know he's disappointed and really wanted to be on today. So with that, let's do one final ad read for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit Alumni Hall. That's where I got this cool baseball shirt from. Go support them. We're going to talk about baseball and softball here in a second. But go support them, alumnihall.com, or visit them on Archer Road in Gainesville, Florida. A couple of off-season notes. Jeremy Foley is going to receive the 2025 Homer Rice Award, which honors his significant contributions to college sports. Florida Gators softball dominated the regional. They defeated Mercer twice, 8-0 in each game, and they beat Florida Atlantic 14-6, all in five innings. The first team to defeat their opponents in a regional in five innings in NCAA history. So they're going to host Georgia this weekend in Gainesville at Katie Cecil Presley Stadium in Gainesville on May 23rd and 24th. So if you're in the area looking for something to do, go check them out. Baseball concluded their season with another series victory over Alabama. They started the year 1-11 in the SEC, finished 15-15. So a very surprising 14-4 season, SEC end of the season. So congratulations to them. They're going to face South Carolina in the first round of the SEC tournament tomorrow, May 20th at 5:30 Eastern time in Hoover, Alabama. Quick shout out to Aiden King, who made history by earning four SEC weekly awards in a single season. The first time anybody has ever won four SEC weekly awards in a single season. So congratulations and best of luck to them. Women's lacrosse also advanced to the Final Four. So congratulations to them. With that, end of the show. Jordan, we got song of the week, my friend.
Okay. Let me turn you up real quick. Give me. Actually, I'm ready now. You ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
It's called, this is my favorite rapper, by the way. He's not a very popular rapper, but I love his music. Is Jid, J-I-D is the artist.
Oh, I rock with Jid. Okay.
Yeah, Jid goes hard. Look, Kendrick vibes, but Jid's single called
Find out like you in your deep rap bag, bro. I ain't know you was that deep into it like that, bro. A
little bit. You know, I'll be on the low, man. I'm an old head now. You so I don't keep up with all the new hits that comes out, but when I see it and I like it, I jam it. So it's the song is called WRK. I think it's just abbreviated for work. The song is very work. So it's a nice little hype song. If y'all haven't going to the gym, play that in the morning, going on a run, play that. Just even getting ready to kind of attack the day when you feeling tired. Let Jid turn you up real quick. That's my guy. J-I-D, and the song is called WRK, abbreviated work.
Perfect. Love it. Go check him out. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button before you leave. Share with your friends on X. We appreciate everybody for watching. You can follow us on YouTube. We're going to repost this. We'll post the Jacoby Jackson interview. We're on TikTok. We're not on Facebook. Or follow us on Twitter at Stadium or X at Stadium and Gale. We appreciate you guys. We will see you all next week. Have a great week. Let's and go Gators.
Yes, sir.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.